And that is our signal. Good morning, good morning. It's 10:10 on Monday morning, the 25th of September. Welcome to Coffee with Decoder, episode 21. We are excited to see all of you coming in today, and we hope that sharing these information, this information will be a fun coffee break, and you might even learn something. So today we're going to mug someone. We have an official Coffee with Decoder mug that's specially branded, and I think it's kind of beautiful. I've got mine right here on my desk, and all of the people whose questions are answered today will go into a drawing, and then one of them will be chosen to receive the mug, and so we call that a mugging. It's a little bit fun, and we'll also ask for your mug shot, which is a selfie with your new mug, and so we're going to do some more work on that later, but right now let's jump into our questions. Our first question is from a physician practicing in Florida. And Leanne is sending us a question. She says, we're starting to have rejections, and we can't even get the claim out of the door. It's all with this one carrier, Blue Cross. They are rejecting claims because they're saying that two diagnosis codes cannot be billed together. The codes are G56.22 for lesion of ulnar nerve, left upper limb, and M54.12, radiculopathy, cervical region. Other codes on the claim she lists, M54.2, M50.320, and Z68.26. We asked the ortho to review this claim and remove a couple of codes, but he's not willing to do that because he feels they're two totally different issues, which he did address that day. The only thing I can think to do in this case is drop the claim to paper and submit it with notes. Please advise. So is the issue here that the elbow G56.22 cannot be reported with a problem in the neck? The doctor and his nurse both say those are two different issues.
Okay. Thank you, Leanne, for your question. And, you know, as for those of you on the line today, Leanne and I actually had some discussion back and forth about this question. So let me go through the way that this proceeded in our discussions. So basically, the two codes in question, which is G56.22, lesion of the ulnar nerve, left upper limb, and G54.12, radiculopathy, cervical region. Those are the codes in question. Under G56.22, and I'm going to state what the definition is again, just so you can follow me, the lesion of the ulnar nerve of the left upper limb code in the ICD-10 manual, there is an excludes one note, which indicates that the coding rule will never allow these two codes to be used together. This is probably because nerve issues in the neck, of course, can result in nerve issues in the upper extremity, and therefore are automatically bundled in the diagnosis codes in the ICD-10 code set. Unfortunately, these codes should not be used together and will likely not be accepted by any payer according to the ICD-10 guidelines. However, here's where we have this little caveat that, you know, the ICD-10 guidelines state, which makes it a little bit confusing. The exception says, but let me just back up before I tell you the exception, is you would probably, as you suggested, have to drop the claim to paper with the physician and have the physician write a letter to indicate that the two conditions are not related, meaning the radiculopathy is not causing or not related to the ulnar lesion. This would likely or could likely cause a little bit of delay in your payment, as you know. So the ICD-10 manual says, under the excludes one note description, it says, a type 1 excludes note is a pure excludes note. It means not coded here. An excludes one note indicates that the code excluded should never be used at the same time as the code above the excludes one note. And excludes one note is used when two conditions cannot occur together, such as a congenital form versus an acquired form of the same condition. Well, that makes sense, right? Complete sense. So you can't have two of those things at the same time. But, which kind of throws a little wrench in there, an exception to the excludes one definition is the circumstance when the two conditions are unrelated to each other. If it is not clear whether the two conditions involving an excludes one note are related or not, of course, query the physician. In your case, the physician has adamantly said these are not related, so I would make sure that the information is there. He needs to write a note about that. And you would need to drop that claim to paper because the edits in the software are going to automatically reject because of the coding rules. Now, Leanne reiterated her question, and she said, it says we can't use G56.22 and M54.12 together, and you say it is because they are probably bundled together. So which is bundled into the other one? I would think we should use M54.12 since G56 says to use the nerve injury by body region. I said yes, or we said yes, they are bundled per IC-10 instructions. The M54.12 radiculopathy cervical region is included in the excludes notes under G56.22 lesion ulnar nerve left upper limb. The reverse is not true. Depending on the physician's documentation of the reason for the encounter and the focus of treatment would be the determining factor of the code selection. If the focus of the treatment was on the cervical radiculopathy versus the ulnar nerve lesion, then the radiculopathy means that the nerve root is pinched and causing weakness, numbness, pain, muscle weakness down the extremity. It certainly makes sense that the lesion he is referring to could be caused by the radiculopathy, but that needs to be clear in his documentation in order to report it as the reason for the encounter versus the lesion itself. Now, and then Leanne comes back with a similar question. She said, it also says we cannot bill M54.2 with M50.320. M54.0 excludes one, says cervicalgia due to intervertebral cervical disc disorder, M50. Then the M50 has an includes cervicothoracic disc disorder with cervicalgia. So for this one, I think we should just use M54.0. Am I reading this correctly? It includes cervicalgia, which is the diagnosis code M54.2. And so our response was yes. Cervicalgia M54.2 is basically neck pain, which is an inclusive symptom of the cervical disc disorder. So you would not need to report them both. The ICD-10 coding rules indicate by exclusion note 1 that the two codes are not reported together. So, okay, Pam, that was a long question, but we can move on to the next one now.
Okay, great. Well, it's helpful to get everything kind of clarified like that. And so it's helpful, I think, to our audience to hear the back and forth that sometimes has to go on.
Right.
Because we strive to be very, very clear, and sometimes even in our clarity, the other person isn't understanding it. So maybe that's one of the reasons we're doing ICD-10, right?
Exactly.
Our next question comes from an inpatient rehab in Illinois, and Heather has a question about combination codes for the etiologic diagnosis in an IRF, inpatient rehab. I have learned that for a sepsis diagnosis, it is important to have a secondary code to say where the sepsis started from. I'm currently working on a case for a sepsis patient that began from hospital-acquired pneumonia. The pneumonia is resolved, so the coder will not give me an active pneumonia code. Is it okay to add a pneumonia code to the etiologic section if it doesn't appear on the UB04? What is the best way to go about adding this kind of information?
Okay, so Heather actually said a couple of very important things that piqued our ears. One thing is the UB04 will not always match the IRF-PI. The codes that are used for the etiologic diagnosis on the IRF-PI can be resolved. They can be the reason that caused the patient to need to be in inpatient rehab, but they can be resolved. So in some situations, you'll have a code as the etiologic that is resolved, which that was that diagnosis that caused the impairment, but it will not be listed on the UB04, and that's okay. However, in this situation, if this pneumonia progressed to sepsis, the more definitive and more severe diagnosis would actually be the sepsis as the etiologic. You would not need to report the pneumonia. There may be, however, with the specific condition of sepsis, multiple codes still required, because if the organism is stated, you would need to, of course, report that organism, and there's a certain sequencing rule to reporting the sepsis with the organism. And if that patient went into, you know, you want to know how far that sepsis progressed. Was there severe sepsis? Was there organ dysfunction? And here's another caveat that when you're thinking about the IRF-PI etiologic diagnosis, let's say a patient had sepsis with acute respiratory failure and acute renal failure. And let's say the acute renal failure was resolved when they came into rehab and the acute respiratory failure we were still treating. Then the sepsis and the acute renal failure, the resolved condition, would be listed as the etiologic, and then you would report the unresolved condition or comorbidity as a comorbidity on the IRF PI. The reason for that is both of those organ dysfunctions are tiers. They're tiered diagnoses. So in this instance, you would want to make sure and report the one that no longer exists as the etiologic because your rules say you can do that. And when you are reporting sepsis, there is that combination code rule where you would report the multiple codes for the severity, including the organism that was involved. So hopefully I was clear on that one. I know we have a lot of questions. If you need an example, please write me back, Heather, or write us back, and we'll give some examples to that particular case.
Thank you, Paula. Well, we are at 10:21, so I'm going to go ahead and select one of these two questioners to be mugged today. I've written their names and put them in the hat on my desk, so here we go. Pulling out the answer, the winner is Leanne from Florida. So I'll be reaching out to you today, Leanne, and sending off your mug and looking forward to your mugshot. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Episode 22 is going to be October the 9th. At 10:10, and if you'd like a reminder, be sure and look at our website where it explains how to get a reminder. You're basically emailing me, and we will text you or email you to remind you of the session. So thanks, everyone, for joining us for Coffee with the Coder, Episode 21.